This is Catherine Girardeau, podtech.net, reporting from San Francisco's Moscone West at the Intel Developer Forum. In his keynote speech on Wednesday, Pat Gelsinger, Senior Vice President and General Manager of Intel's Digital Enterprise Group, laid out the company's strategy for multi-core product development and releases, and introduced an array of industry collaborations of interest to the conference audience of some 5,000 developers. During part two of his keynote speech, Gelsinger announced several industry initiatives, including a joint project with Babco, a company that makes 3D benchmarking software, to help businesses manage power and efficiency with a benchmark product called EcoMark. Here's part two of his keynote speech.
What we saw in the early part of this decade was as we started to see the mobile market emerge, and the importance of battery life, was we had no good way for the industry to look at how to measure thermal and battery life. And in fact, there was not just confusion, but probably a bit of obfuscation going on, right, by different vendors to look at this problem. And much like the auto industry with miles per gallon, we needed some way to look at this in a consistent and metric manner. And we worked with the industry through Babco to form MobileMark. And this is now an industry-accepted way to look at performance and battery life. We have no equivalent today for clients. We're very happy that this week Babco has announced that they are developing, and we are working, and part of the committee that's working on this inside of Babco, to form EcoMark, which will again look at performance and energy consumption in a consistent, right, and structured manner. We're also excited that ECMA, the European agency, has joined with Babco to agree on this as a standard for both Europe as well as, right, for the Babco solution. And it's great to see the industry coming together, and as you see by the quote from their announcement here. We're also working to establish those same metrics for the server platform. How do you measure energy efficiency? Is it TDP? Is it idle? Again, confusion. And we're working with the SPEC group, and we formed inside of SPEC a working group to specifically agree on how we measure energy efficiency and performance in server platforms as well. And we expect the results of this to be available in the first half of 07. Let's look just a little bit more closely at EcoMark. And what this is trying to take a representative way of how a real PC would be used in the workday of a user, and also measure and model the energy consumption in that workday as well. So it's real workloads through a real workday measured at the platform level, trying to report energy costs in a meaningful way. And as you see by the quote here, the industry is excited. We need some consistent way to look at this. And so what we are doing now is taking a workload. And we've suggested SysMark, right, the Babco model, and broken it up over the day. You know, people work, take breaks, take lunch breaks, and go home at night, and look at how that workload would occur and the actual measured energy costs on that platform through this workday. So in this case, if you look at performance and energy costs, right, we see that if we take both the SysMark score for those platforms, as well as the annualized energy costs for the platforms, we result in these kind of results. We see that there are the annual energy costs, you know, $23 per year, and this is measuring, you know, using the industry wide solution or the North American average of 10 cents per kilowatt hour, right, and the representative performance levels of those platforms, and providing a consistent way that customers could look at both energy costs as well as the performance of those platforms as they make buying decisions. Intel, right, knows that it's going to take a while for the EcoMark to be finished. But what we're committing to do today is begin measuring ourselves and publishing these results, and we're releasing a white paper today on this modeling methodology as a way that the industry can start measuring us and our platforms from our customers and partners against the EcoMark directions for the industry. Similarly, we're working with the industry in server energy efficiency. And we're very happy today to have with us Mark Bramfitt from PG&E. And if you happen to be a Northern California customer, it's interesting that you can qualify for this program today. If you are upgrading a data center today, you can receive, just like, you know, when you get a rebate on your buying an energy-efficient refrigerator, you now get a rebate on buying an energy-efficient data center in Northern California. You might not have known that, but we're working with PG&E as well as with our customers, and these Xeon 5100 products are qualify for that, right, up to a $350,000 rebate coming from PG&E for an energy-efficient data center upgrade. So working on programs as well as metrics for energy efficiency at the platform level for mobile, desktop, as well as data center and server products. Working with the industry around our amazing products, done efficiently. Collaboration is what IDF is all about. That's why we hold the forum. That's why you're here. How can we work together to deliver the next generation of technologies? Collaborating with the industry around instruction sets. As we were thinking about our speech today and, you know, pulling together our discussion, one of the things that we hearkened back to was the debates around RISC versus CISC. How many of you remember these debates? Right? And this was actually, this is a picture of John Hennessy, who was my professor at Stanford, right? When I was working on the 486, right, he and I held a public debate on RISC versus CISC. Right, and this is a picture of him at that time and a picture of me, you know, two charming young men there, huh? As you see. You know, John's done pretty well for himself since then as well, the president of Stanford now. And the debate was minimize the instruction set, the thesis of RISC, versus evolve and enhance the instruction set, the thesis of CISC. Which one won? Well, over the decades since then, we've evolved the architecture substantially. And you might have heard the Intel architecture has done pretty well since then, right? And we've extended it with new instructions. We've added new capabilities like floating point to it, gone to virtual memory paging, 32 bits, flat address spaces, 64 bits, SSC. Right? We did chipset integration, not a new idea, all the way back to the 386 SL, and more recently with SSC and 64-bit extensions. We're working with customers to understand the next evolutions of the instruction set. What are their emerging workloads, and how can we enhance the instruction set of the platform to embrace those new usage models and deliver solutions that handle the data sets? High performance computing, media processing, search compare, data integrity, pattern recognition. All of these are new emerging workloads that the platform and the instruction set needs to comprehend. As we've described our two-year TikTok model, we see that we need to be more embracive, aggressive, and change the way that we've worked with the industry in describing and setting the direction for our instruction set extensions. Today, we're announcing the next generation of instruction set extensions for our 45-nanometer products. So these will be the products that we introduce over the next 2 years. Today, we're publishing a white paper describing the instruction set extensions that will be part of the 45-nanometer products. This is SSC4 and more. Things that address vectorizing compilers, media, string and text processing, application targeted instructions, and all today we're announcing 50 new instructions that we'll deliver as part of the instruction set over the next 2 years. Today, the direction and the mnemonics, and we'll be disclosing the specific opcodes and the semantics for those instructions as soon as they're proven in silicon. A change on how Intel works with and communicates our directions with the industry. But of course, we don't just do this alone. And two of the many ISVs and OSVs that we worked with, right, are disclosed here, Adobe as well as Microsoft, working with the industry in instruction set extensions. We've also seen critical enhancements at platform capabilities. We've described the work in virtualization as a key usage model, where VT is critical hardware enhancements to support that usage model as well. Novell announced on Monday the first production enterprise Linux taking advantage of the Zen capabilities to allowing the hosting of unmodified guest OSs in the platform fully utilizing VT technology. On this stage, right, we described our virtualized ASAP program in the spring, where we had Diane Green from VMware and myself announcing the virtualized ASAP program for ISVs, offering resources to develop best practices for sizing guides, performance and tuning, and application configuration recommendation and testing. The response from that has been stellar. And these are the companies that have joined with us as part of the virtualized ASAP program. The industry has internalized how important this is and the strong support we have from them. Working with the industry and software, we also see the critical need to work on next generation hardware interfaces as well. Right? And today, the industry platform of choice is around Intel's frontside bus. You heard Susan Whitney this morning, or earlier in the talk, describe their next generation investments into their chipsets in that platform. Today, I'm excited to announce that Intel's extending our frontside bus relationship in the industry to the FPGA vendors, to Altera and to Xilinx, and to enable them to take their technologies, their FPGA technologies, embrace the frontside bus, take advantage of the tens of millions of platforms that have shipped into the industry, and enabling them for application accelerators of tomorrow. And in fact, we've been working in the labs in this for the last several years, and what I have here is actually a running prototype of what we call our JNIC, where we've actually built one of these FPGAs, right? We've actually run a, you know, this is running at, you know, greater than 4 gigabit per second line rate, so we've actually prototyped this, and now we're taking this and making this available through Altera and Xilinx for the industry to innovate further on the standard frontside bus platforms in the industry. And we're continuing to explore I/O evolution for the platform as well. From the early days of ISA and the IBM PC, we enhanced that with ESA in 88, to PCI, right, with Plug and Play in 92, PCI Express as we extended that to, or PCIX as extended it to 64 bits. In 2001 at IDF, we laid out a vision for I/O innovations and moved to serial interfaces called PCI Express. Serial interfaces, 1 to 32 serial lanes that have come into the platform beginning in 2003, right, and the PCI Gen 2, which will be coming forward to the marketplace next year. The result of that has been an amazing ramp of PCI and PCI Express and the adoption of those platforms in the industry. 100% of graphics suppliers, storage, networking, and accelerators. But we have a vision to take this even further. And to help me describe that, I'd like to invite Tom Bradich, the CTO for IBM System X. And if you could join me now, we'll talk about the future as well. Tom?
Hello, Pat.
Hi, Tom. You know, as we were talking, we've been working together forever, man. You're getting old.
Yeah. That's true.
I mean, I haven't, but, you know, since the 286, we've worked together. I think maybe, you know, as two executives, we've worked together maybe longer than anyone in the industry.
Yeah, the 286 and the 386 days, we did simulation. We actually did offloading and accelerated simulation of the brand new 386 processor that you were leading.
Yeah, that's great. So, you know, maybe you could talk to the audience a little bit about some of the work that we're doing together in
the
area of I/O.
You know, about 5 years ago, IBM and Intel got together with several industry leaders and developed what is the PCI Express interconnect technology. And that has proven to be very successful. It's a low-cost, reliable, high-speed interconnect that has achieved ubiquity across server and client platforms. And the momentum continues. We've worked together on PCI Express 2.0, which will be around shortly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very good. So this is an area IBM has lots of experience in. And what trends in interconnect are you seeing?
Well, you know, there's two dynamics at play that we're seeing here. One is out in the industry, we're seeing new computing models putting higher demands on the platform and on the system. And at the same time, in IBM, it is the season for us to take our next step in our X architecture roadmap, and that is building proven mainframe and high-end enterprise capabilities into open and industry standards. And over on the new model side, we're seeing an increased application of mathematically intensive computations in the financial industry, as well as the biophysical and the geophysical industries as well. Also, we're seeing intense visualization, not only in just GUIs or user interfaces, but also in applications, as well as, in, of course, the gaming, you know, industry. And then content acceleration as well in processing, such as XML. Mm-hmm. You know, I think I was in kindergarten when IBM pioneered the I/O channel. And back then, IBM applied attached processors, applied accelerators, as well as offload engines to that I/O channel. And we are very, very excited to step up to leading and bringing to bear that experience and that technology to the new open standard that we are calling, between Intel and IBM internally, we are calling Geneseo.
Okay, so Geneseo, a set of hardware and software enhancements, and maybe you could describe a little bit to the audience exactly what we're bringing forward and proposing with the industry.
Sure, it's intellectually intriguing as well as will be of great value to our customers. And I can portion the features into roughly four categories. First, we are going to address the efficiencies in synchronization and signaling by providing atomic operations that will indeed increase performance and communication among the elements of the application, the memory, as well as this new I/O interconnect.
So that's going to significantly improve memory throughput for these application accelerators.
Very important. If you can't get to the data, you can't process it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's extremely important. A second dimension we will add is transaction ordering. The data and its associated transactions can be ordered and prioritized, mm-hmm. and that will increase dramatically the efficiency of the bandwidth allocated to those particular tasks and threads.
Uh-huh. So huge improvements in terms of the ability to optimize data flow through the interface as well.
Yes, absolutely. Now, IBM being a systems company, we're very interested in the systems aspect. So as you mentioned several times, and as Susan mentioned earlier, we are going to work to build thermal and power management capabilities and control into this interconnect, such that the accelerators and the attached elements may be controlled thermally as well as electrically, and power can be portioned and allocated on a dynamic basis and action taken to keep things cool.
Mm-hmm. So this is huge, and power efficiency improvements are incredibly important for both of us.
Yes, indeed. And of course, a systems approach wouldn't be complete without looking at the software stack. Mm-hmm. So we must look at that, look at the issues where there are bottlenecks, overhead, and reduce the latency significantly within the software stack. So we're extremely happy to dip into our rich portfolio of technologies and work on the standard with Intel, as well as others in the industry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if we don't address the software stack, in many cases, that is the bottleneck.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well. Right. So this enhancement, we think, is pivotal to embracing the next generation of application acceleration. It's exciting work that's going on. As you see by the companies listed here, we've had extremely positive response, and we really look forward to working this with you, Tom.
We do too. We can't wait to keep going and get it done.
Well, thank you, Tom, and we're going to be taking this forward to the PCI SIG, right, as well as to DMTF.
Yes.
We're going to see it standardized across the industry.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Tom.
Okay,
great to have
you
here with us.
Bye-bye.
Amazing project, done efficiently, with the industry, and ultimately for the customer. We've been researching and looking at the issues facing enterprise customers for many years, right? And we've heard what they've said and talked about these for several IDFs. And we've gotten incredible response from our vPro platform launch. Beginning on September 7th of this year, IT customers have said, you listen to us, and this is the kind of platform that we need to solve those problems. Some of the usage models that we've been working on in this area, the usage drivers for the platform, have shown incredible innovation. And we've asked our customers what it is, and we've built it. And their response has been great: security, manageability, and energy-efficient performance. Since the launch of vPro, we've had incredible embrace by the industry, system integrators, ISV, OEMs, all of those seeing the value proposition that we're creating. This is vPro today, and we see a future as well as we rapidly evolve this platform to respond to user inputs and additional challenges. In the first half, Intel AMT will become part of the Centrino platform as well, and will deliver the vPro value proposition in our mobile platform offerings as well. IT buyers, both desktop and mobile platforms. We're also enhancing the platform for enhancements to the Intel AMT engine, as well as the Intel Trusted Execution technology, securing the boot and BIOS of the platform as well. It is also being enhanced to support next-generation standards, such as web services, providing the ability from a single console to manage the entirety of the enterprise resources. One of the challenges that we've seen for an IT customer today is that he has increasing challenges in areas like data security and how to protect and manage that, challenges being foisted on him by Sarbanes-Oxley and other things. And today, he really has two computing models to look at. One is a thin client model, which promises higher security and better manageability. Right? The other is the thick client compute model, right, which provides a richer user experience, mobile and remote connectivity. Both have their place and different business needs, and we sell silicon to both, so we're happy for both. But ultimately, that's far too rigid of a picture, and we see another emerging model in the industry, and this is called software as a service. And what we see is the future for vPro is enabling it to be the best SaaS client possible, balancing the computing overhead between the data center and the client, delivering a rich experience of voice, video, collaboration, rich user interface, and maintaining, though, all the values of the thin client model by securing the data in the data center. Drives a breakthrough in data center security as well as TCO. A SaaS architecture, you know, in a simplistic view, is something like this. You take a naked client PC, attaching and authenticating itself to a service. After it's authenticated itself, then based on the credentials it presents to that service, the policy manager then evaluates and licenses the application and streams down the data and application, right? Not a complete desktop install, the application and data required for that particular user and service. And then the code is executing on the client, taking advantage of the client performance and richness. And at the conclusion of the application on exit, the data is delivered back to the server and data center, so it's secured and protected based on the data center policies. And we see that this SaaS model is emerging and getting a huge amount of interest in the industry, and large number of players in the business already are embracing this. And we're seeing it embraced by industry players like those listed here, as well as by customers who are looking at this. We see SaaS as an emerging and important trend. And we see that through collaboration with ISVs, enhancing the vPro platform, extended trusted execution technology into the platform, that we and new technologies like Robson, which allow caching and pinning of applications on the client side, key innovations to make SaaS a mainstream volume deployment for client computing in the future, solving the dilemma between thin and thick computing. In fact, this week, we see that there's emerging innovation and interest in this topic. SaaSCon, hosted just across the street, and Intel was one of the sponsors for this and a speaker at the conference, right, the first SaaS conference in the industry. And we see that this is a great opportunity for the industry to innovate in key usage models and hardware and software for tomorrow. It's been an amazing 6 months since we saw you last, right? As we started our talk today, a wall of wafers that simply is overwhelming and stunning in its breadth and depth. We've seen that we've done these efficiently. Efficiency in everything that we build, not just great performance. The customers, BMW, BP, Baidu, CCG, NHN that we've talked about today, all embracing these new platforms. But IDF is all about the industry. It's all about how we partner together at delivering the tremendous potential that Moore's Law offers us today as well as in the future. But the pace of Moore's Law is unrelenting. Will just handed me the first silicon out of the fab on some of our next generation products. I'll be talking to you about this one in the spring. Time to get back to work. Thank you very much.
Intel's Senior Vice President and General Manager of the Digital Enterprise Group, Pat Gelsinger. This is PodTech.net.